It's the Satellite Sisters.
Hi, this is Leanne Dolan.
I'm Monica Dolan.
This is Sheila.
I'm Liz Dolan.
This is Julie.
Real sisters, real life, real conversation. Tackling the world one cup of coffee at a time. The Satellite Sisters.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, what? It's Tuesday, September 20th. How is that possible? I am Liz Dolan. I am in Santa Monica, California, joined on Skype by my sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. Julie, how are you?
Hey, Liz. Well, how are you? I mean, we spent the weekend together, so I kind of know how you are. So how are you?
Well, I'm great. I love this time of year. But I did this morning as I was out early walking my dog, Ferris. I saw the first Halloween decorations up on a private home, and I'm just thinking, September? Can we just at least wait until October for the Halloween decorations? I don't know. I know people are enthusiastic about Halloween. I just like to keep things, you know, in their appropriate timing. It seems like a long season if you start now.
Not at all, Liz. You got to get your decorations up. The problem is the pumpkins rot. If you buy the pumpkins now, they're going to be rotten by the end of October. Yeah. But whatever. They don't ask for our opinion, Liz. So okay. We have a big show, huh?
We actually have some breaking news on today's show. You know, sometimes on Tuesday morning, you start to organize your thoughts and then boom, something comes over the internet at you and you can't believe that Angelina Jolie has filed for divorce from Brad Pitt. You know, and I know we've heard this news before, but this sounds legit. So we have to address, Julie. We're going to do that. Then I have a little bit of a report under the whole banner of Lizness, not business. What have I really been thinking about and doing? So I'm going to fill people in on the choices I am trying to make with the rest of my life.
That's good, Liz. Well, I have a new sport for you. This is going to be ideal. It's going to fit in with your new lifestyle, Liz. I even think our sister, Leanne, who hates hiking, and this is related to hiking, is going to enjoy this sport. So okay. I'm going to tell you about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And at the very end of the show, we have an announcement of our new season, because you are not going to believe how long we have been at this. But it is a labor of love, and Satellite Sisters continues on. So new season news at the very end of the show. Okay. But first, Angelina and Brad. Maybe this really is a sign from the universe, Julie, about how I should be spending my time.
Why is that, Liz?
Because
how are you in any way related to Angelina and Brad and their untimely divorce?
Well, you know, you remember I have slept with Brad Pitt.
Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot that, Liz.
Yes.
Forgot.
So
maybe you should explain.
Yeah. Here's the way that happened. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only woman out there that can claim to have slept with Brad Pitt, but this was 2004, I realized, because it was right around the 2004 election, which I remember because when we met and slept together, he was wearing a t-shirt that said Carrie on it. So that's how I remember. It was election week 2004.
Okay.
We were both on the same plane headed to the same place. It was a flight from London, England to Johannesburg, South Africa, and on Virgin Atlantic. And so it was an overnight flight. So I got all settled into my seat. I looked across the aisle and noticed that there was nobody in that seat. So, and the plane seemed very full. But then at the last minute, who did they whisk in? Like, who was directly across the aisle from me? But Brad Pitt. And
it's so amazing, Liz.
So amazing.
It is so amazing. Heart stopping, really.
Yes.
Didn't your heart stop when you saw that it was Brad Pitt?
Well, yes. And you want to tell someone, but who are you going to tell? In that environment, you know, you kind of try to meet the gaze of the flight attendant, because you're assuming the flight attendants are also like, oh my God, that is Brad Pitt. I don't know if they tell them in advance that your VIP passenger is Brad Pitt. Probably not. But anyway, so, and as I say, it's an overnight flight. So it didn't take very long. You know, there you get served a little bit of a meal or whatever. But then what did we do? We each unfolded our beds and we each got our little blankets. And Virgin Atlantic, they give you those pajamas you can sleep in.
Did you and Brad get in the matching pajamas?
I could not wear those pajamas in front of Brad, whereas I normally would have been tempted, Julie. No.
Somehow thought you were going to look chicer or more desirable to Mr. Pitt if you were in your, you stayed in your street clothes, your all black street clothes that you were obviously traveling in?
You know, those thoughts actually do go through your mind. As
I can imagine. If you're lying next to Brad Pitt, you know, you gotta bring your best game, Liz, right?
So then, you know, people sleep, it's dark, whatever. And in the morning, you know, when you've been on these long overnight flights, which I know you have been, Julie, people are not at their best in the morning.
And no, you look bad. There's your hair looks bad. Your skin looks bad. You know, usually you haven't brushed your teeth.
Yeah.
The men haven't shaved. No one's showered.
Yeah.
It's just bad all the way around.
All the way around. Everyone looks bad in that situation, except for Brad Pitt, who looks awesome first thing in the morning, even when he has been in the same environment you have. So he got up before I did, but I saw him get up and go into the lav there, the airplane lavatory. And then a woman behind me got up and kind of unwitting, she was standing there waiting, but she did not know who was in there. So yeah. I was just delighted to watch what this reaction was going to be. Like, you have never looked worse in your whole life, and now the door is going to open, and Brad Pitt, Dreamboat, is going to be standing there after, and you're at your ugliest possible moment. And sure enough, he's in there for a couple of minutes, I'm sure making himself look even better than he would look.
How is it even possible that he could look even better?
I'm sure he brushed his teeth. You know, that just the basics. So I threw a little water on his face, and he comes back out looking even better. But she, when he opens the little accordion door and steps out, she literally like reared backwards. like she thought she was hallucinating or something.
Well, that can happen on a long flight too. You would see images. Yeah, that could happen.
Oh, so I just laughed and laughed at that. Anyway, we never did really have a time to share contact details, Brad and I. But, you know, we shared that whole long night sleeping together. And I've often thought about Brad. And
Liz, you've had more than most women could ever dream of. You know, you've had a night with Brad Pitt. You know, your life is pretty complete, Liz.
I know, but I do have a lot of time on my hands now. So when the word came through this morning that Angelina had filed for divorce, and that it's disputes over how to raise the children and whatever.
Is that what it is? I was with a group of women when the news broke, Liz. And in my small mini survey of those women, they all blamed Angelina.
Yes. No, I would think in the satellite sisterhood, normally we would side with woman.
Not in
this case.
100% of the women blamed Angelina.
Anyway, we'll see. I mean, the news I saw this morning, it was like TMZ. So who knows? But they are usually close to the actual facts, especially when it comes to a some sort of legal thing. So anyway, so I have that I could work on. But then I did have a dream last night, Julie, that I'm just going to try out on you. And then we have to take a break for our new sponsor. Last night I had a dream that my new job was making car bodies, like automobile bodies, but they were custom for LL Cool J.
That was your dream?
That was my dream last night. Like I dreamed that I worked for LL Cool J making automobiles for him.
You know, Liz, I was hoping, because you said you were going to mention a dream, and I was hoping I was going to be able to offer some interpretation, but I really don't know where to go with this. I have to tell you that.
Okay.
Because we've had dream interpreters on Satellite Sisters in the past, and and I recall that they said that it is a portal.
Yes.
Dreams are a portal into some underlying wish or desire, interest that you have.
All right. But we have to take a break right now to introduce our new sponsor. You can think about it during the break. And when we come back, maybe you'll have an idea. If not, people can post that in the Facebook group. So we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. We are the Satellite Sisters. Okay, and we're back. Did anything come to you, Julie? I woke up thinking, well, maybe me and LL Cool J, maybe that's something I should look into. But now that I know Brad's available, that went right out of my head.
Well, but it could, but see, maybe LL Cool J just represents a celebrity. So maybe it is your need that you want interest to be with a celebrity. So that's it. The car manufacturing, I just never saw that as part of any interest of yours. But maybe, Liz, it's that you want to make something. You know, maybe. You want to build something.
Yeah.
And that is not something you've done. And you've said that in this next chapter of your life, you don't want to talk about things. You want to, you know, do stuff. So that could be something there, Liz. Okay. What do you think?
I was thinking maybe it just meant that I liked LL Cool J's body. You know, that it was...
So it was that kind of dream.
You just meant, sort of metaphoric body, you know, the car body, whatever. Anyway, so. All right, moving on. If people have theories about that, and you're a member of the Facebook group, you can go ahead and post those there. I'm interested in any and all interpretation. Then one other thing under the Lizness Not Business hashtag, which you can always follow on Twitter, by the way. Last week, Julie, you and I headed to the family wedding for the weekend, but for 3 days before we were headed to Massachusetts, I stopped in New York City just for fun, just to like see friends and have fun. How about that for a lifestyle?
Well, you haven't done that in years, Liz,
because
I mean, you lived in New York City, but you were always working. So, and if you were traveling, you were always working when you were in New York. So you just went and you were a tourist and having fun. Nice, Liz.
Boy, did I have fun. Well, here's one thing I did. And then other plans kind of developed from this. I read a review in the paper of a show called Spamilton. And Spamilton is a spoof of Hamilton. And it's created by the people that have done a series of these spoofs called Forbidden Broadway. And they've done Spring Awakening and they've done the Book of Mormon. You know, they've spoofed a lot of Broadway shows. But this review in multiple papers said this was convulsively funny. Well,
that sounds like a funny show, Liz.
That has my name on it. So I booked, as soon as I read it in the paper, I booked tickets to see Spamilton. Because I saw Hamilton a year ago, but...
Did you really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I saw it when it was just a miracle. When it was in previews on Broadway, before it had officially opened, I like happened to be there and had one night to kill. And I just thought, you know, I keep hearing all this stuff about the show. Hasn't opened yet, but like, and whatever. I managed to like wrangle a couple of tickets. I took my friend Judy, who you know, and we went to see Hamilton on the Monday when their real opening night was the Thursday. So, anyway, so I've been obsessed with it ever since, though I try to keep it to myself because I feel like Hamil fans, as we call ourselves, are getting really obnoxious about how great that show is, right? So I try not to talk about it too much. But then when I read the review of Spamilton, I was like, this has my name on it. This was designed for me. So I bought tickets, and then I started re-listening to the soundtrack, which I had tried to put away because I had been obsessively listening to it for so long. But once I started to listen to the Hamilton soundtrack again, Julie, I realized that I was seeing Spamilton last Wednesday night. And then I went online to see if there was any way I could finagle a ticket to Hamilton for the Wednesday matinee.
Really? Liz, you're in deep with Hamilton.
Even
though you've already seen it. And because it seems like you probably wouldn't want to see Spamilton unless you had seen Hamilton.
Yes,
right?
I would say that. It would not be funny unless you had seen the show. Part of it would be funny, but you really... So I had seen it, but really it was a year ago. It was vague. So I felt like in order to appreciate Spamilton at its best, I needed to see Hamilton again. So that's what, in fact, I did secretly do all by myself on Wednesday afternoon.
That is binge watching, Liz.
It was great. You know what? just even better the second time around. I don't want to be obnoxious about it. Even though a lot of the original cast is now gone, still, if you get a chance, go.
Go so, see it. Okay, because that was going to be my question. Now that all the stars that won the Tonys are out of the show, do you think it still has the same energy and makes the same kind of impact?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, good.
You know, it's just a fascinating story. The music is so fun. It's just unbelievably energetic. You just feel just exhausted by the end of the show. You can't imagine. Like, as I was walking out, the fact that that cast had to do it again that night, the two-a-days on Wednesday, I don't know how they do a Wednesday. But anyway, also as I was walking out, friend of Brad Pitt, Sean Penn was seated right behind me in the theater.
Of course he was.
Anyway, so the Hamilton-Spamilton double, that is not something I would have done in my old life. But Lizness Not Business, yep.
I think there should be like some special t-shirt that you get that you did that, like, you know, in a double header that you saw Hamilton and Spamilton. It would be good. You'd be a part of an elite crowd. Was Sean Penn going on to Spamilton?
No, but he was going backstage, Julie, which I was not. So whatever. But that's when I left the theater and I was walking up the street in the theater district in New York. And who do I literally like bump into on the sidewalks of New York? But Bernie Sanders. Bernie, this really made me laugh. He was coming out of the Hilton Garden Inn. Bernie Sanders.
Okay. Well, you know, he's a socialist. He's not staying in those fancy hotels.
He's not
Trump Tower, Liz.
It really was like, and he was with like two guys, and they got in the car and they drove away. It was like, there was no entourage. There was no motorcade. He was coming out of a Hilton Garden Inn. Anyway, so that was, that's all my Lizness Not Business from last week, Jewel. So that's my complete report.
Okay.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank Pros for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from Pros is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that Pros hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Oh, it's very good, Liz. It's very strong. It has a lot of celebrities. I like that. you're still quite a bit intense, Liz, about your free time that you're doing these double headers.
Am I working?
Just a little. You might want to try to dial it back now that you know you do have a little more free time. But if you want to do that, you know that's good. So I'm proud of you.
Okay.
All right, Liz, are you ready for some Tuesday trends? Because it's Tuesday, yeah. and I have some trends. There was a headline this week that the CEO of Lyft. Now, I know you take Uber, but do you do Lyft as well?
I have never tried it, and I have to admit, it's purely because of the pink mustache. As a branding and marketing person, I just object to that as a brand identity. So that's it. I'm sure it's perfectly
because
fine.
It's supposed to be like, you know, more affordable. The drivers are supposed to be happier. You know, it's a better deal for them. I don't know. But I've only taken Uber, but it's not because of the mustache. But anyway, the CEO of Lyft, and that's L-Y-F-T, says that in 5 years, it's going to be all driverless cars for Lyft. Mm-hmm. That is where they're going. So they're testing out right now in Phoenix and in San Francisco, two unusual places because San Francisco is pretty hilly, kind of dangerous. Phoenix is a little flatter. I think that's good. They're just at low speeds. All these cars are going under 25 miles an hour. You know, there's no highway driving yet, but they are testing out driverless cars. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's a move in the right direction? Are you going to get in a driverless car? And when are you going to get in a driverless car?
Here's what I would say. I have been so wrong so often on predicting the adoption of new technologies. Uh-huh. I mean, longtime listeners know we've been on the air for a long time, 16 years, by the way. More on that later. You know, I remember the first time on Satellite Sisters we ever talked about Twitter, Julie.
Yeah.
And it was then just called microblogging. And I think I recall that someone might have even used the phrase, whose bright idea was that? Which occasionally we say about things. Whose bright idea was that? Well, we felt that about Twitter. You know, we have felt that about a lot of
YouTube. We thought we could not understand YouTube.
Well, yes, that was another thing.
Watch other people's videos.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
No, that was never going to happen, YouTube. Mm-hmm. Here was another thing never going to happen. People watching things on their phone, right? No. Whose bright idea was that? So I put the driverless car in that category where I am 100% certain we are going to be wrong about the level of adoption that driverless cars experience and that 5 years from now, we will think nothing of it. Everyone will just be jumping in a box and going wherever they want.
Right.
So that's what I think.
I mean, I'm in favor of it. I mean, because I have to say, as much as I like Uber and I like using it, I mean, every time I get in a car, it's like I'm getting in a car with a perfect stranger, you know, and I always say a little prayer. Oh, please don't be an axe murderer. Please, please just don't be an axe murderer. So I think the driverless car, that's maybe that's better, you know? Yeah. That's I mean, but if you change, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm sure we're going to be doing that. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm no doubt. And I think it's good for us for where we are demographically. Let's put it okay. delicately that way, because we know how hard it was to take the car keys away from our parents.
Right. Right.
That's a brutal thing to go through with your parents. And I know a lot of Satellite Sisters out there have had to do that, and you don't want to do that again. But now it means that for us, nobody's ever going to have to do that to us, because we'll just be able to have our own driverless cars, Julie. There'll be no excuse to take the car away. So I'm for that.
Okay. I'm for that too. It might open up, you know, whole new worlds for people. So that's good. Okay.
Yes, and it will actually create quite a bit of additional mobility for people that are not currently that mobile.
Right.
So, despite my disbelief that it is real and that it could work, I'm pretty certain I'm wrong on that. So, yep, all for it.
Liz, you have some free time. I think you should test one out. That's what I think. Okay. Here's trend number two, Liz. Okay. Apparently, young people do not want to sit down in a restaurant. You know, some of the affordable chains like Chili's, Ruby Tuesdays, they're going out of business, Liz. Their business is way down. And the reason they say their business is way down is young people do not want to sit down in a restaurant, give their order to a human being, and then wait for that order to be served to them by a human being. They just want to grab and go. They want to eat in their driverless car. They want to like stand in front of the refrigerator and eat, or stand in front of the sink. They do not want to sit down.
Oh. Well,
what do you think?
Again, whose bright idea was that? I don't know. I understand not wanting the slowness of a traditional restaurant. Because I'm often by myself. Like, I like to just go sit at the bar, order something quick, and then you're done. So I'm for that. But the grab and go, I never, ever eat in my car. I do not find that satisfying at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing that. And just bringing everything home. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I like the being out in public, doing a little people watching in restaurants and things. So I just don't think that there's a substitute for that.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But some of those restaurants may not make it. Okay. Trend number three. And this is really happening. It's not a joke, but there are about 30 to 50,000 people worldwide that have already done this. And that is electronic implants. You've seen Bourne Identity. You know how he had the little capsule in his back. So they can now do this, electronic implants that they put under your skin. And this can be for something like the key to your house, so that you never have to lose your keys again, Liz. That your key is actually in your arm. It's on your, it's under your skin, in your arm. So you just go up to your house and wave your arm and the door opens, okay? And you can wave it to lock it. Or they can put your medical information in a little capsule under your skin, so that if you in the same way people wear medical bracelets for certain conditions, this is these electronic implants. So you can get one so you wouldn't lose your keys. What do you think about that? Or would you like your medical info on a little capsule under your skin, so no matter what happens to you, somebody would be able to see that? And then, if they took you to the hospital, presumably they could fish that out of you and find out, know how to treat you.
I would say I am for the latter. Medical info, yeah, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
But the former, like, how lazy do you have to be to never want to open your own front door? Again, whose bright idea was that? So I don't want to sound like a Luddite, but just as someone who has moved a lot, as have you, Julie.
Yes.
So then you're going to have to reprogram this chip every time you live in a new... I mean, maybe that's super
easy. I hadn't even thought that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe they just run a scanner over you and it reprograms it. I don't know.
It's done by radio frequency. It's activated by radio frequency. That's how it works. But
and that's inside your body?
Yes, it's like an injectable. It's an electronic. It's an implant. It's under your skin.
I'm sure. Again, the chances are 100% that I am wrong on this. I would be slow to adopt the keyless entry from my body. Like even this weekend when I had the rental car in, you know, when we were driving up to the family wedding in Massachusetts, you get those rental cars and they have the keyless fob thing. And because I don't have that in my normal car, I just could not figure out how to turn the car off. No matter what I did, you know, you find yourself waving your arms like an idiot to try to get the car to turn off. I had to get out the driver's manual to figure out how to do that.
You did?
Yeah. No, I know once you've done it a few times, of course you remember it, but every car is slightly different. So whatever.
But see, this is, I mean, they said that having these implants with your identification, that these tags essentially would eliminate mistaken identity.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we do it to our dogs.
Yes. You know. So we access, you know, this, they could access your medical records. And it's sort of, in some ways, it's like the next step from a medical bracelet. So, you know, and it's good for travel. Like what if you were in a foreign country, you know, and you would have your contact information on there. You faint. You could put Brad Pitt's contact information right in there, Liz, and he could come and rescue you. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Or LL Cool J. Either one would be fine. Yes, I'm totally for that. That makes total sense. So where do we sign up for that? Are people doing that now, or this is a...
Well, this is in like Denmark. They're doing it in Denmark, Liz. So, but I think, again, you have some time so you can investigate that and get on it. So.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So I do have also, it's kind of a trend and it's a new sport. And I think it is something that I'm going to really recommend it because I think it's a great idea. It's called forest bathing. Forest bathing, Liz. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this, but here's the thing. It does not require any water and you are not taking off your clothes. Okay. There's no nudity involved in forest bathing. It started in Japan. And in Japan, it's called Shinrin Yoku, at forest bathing. And what you are doing is you are immersing yourself in nature to improve your well-being. That they do this in Japan, they have these forest therapists that lead walks, very slow walks, into a forest. The ideal forest would have two-thirds canopy, tree canopy, where, you know, it's very quiet and you move slowly so that you can feel, you know, that you can take in the forest with all of your senses, you know, so you can, you know, smell the pine needles, feel the stones under your feet. And this is supposed to, you know, improve your well-being. By doing this slow, mindful walk, you can contemplate nature and indeed improve your spirit and hopefully your health. So, but it's taking off in this country as well. You can do it here in the U.S. There are a number of places that, you know, it's showing up in spas and state parks and retreats where they have these forest therapists that are leading these walks through it. Doesn't that sound nice?
Sounds delightful.
Okay.
It really does. It's, you know, it's obviously like a meditative walk, right?
Yes.
You know, but better than when you're in those spirals and just going around and around in circles.
Right.
I do not have the patience for that. But I mean, walking through the woods, yeah, it's always a good idea.
Right.
You know, one of the things I loved most about living in Portland, Oregon all those years is Forest Park is a major, I think it's the biggest urban park in America, but there were just many mornings where, you know, with my friends, we'd be out for a run in the forest. It's so beautiful and calming. And in Portland, where it rains so often, there's a very thick canopy of trees. So you're not getting drenched when you're in the forest the way you would if you were out on the street. So this is slightly different, I know, because it's more about a meditation. But yeah, I like it. But are there forests near you in Dallas, Texas, where you could try this out?
I don't know. But I know there's one. I don't know where Sugarloaf Ridge State Park in Kenwood, California. I don't know where that is, Liz. We'll have to look it up. But they have a forest therapist that will lead walks, and it's $30 for an hour's walk. If you live in...
Do I really need to pay someone to lead me on a walk?
Yes, Liz. Yes. Okay. Otherwise, you're just walking. Okay. There might be something to this how to walk, Liz, and how to experience the forest bathing. Okay. You're not a forest therapist, right?
No, I just question whether I really need one to understand how great a forest is. But okay. All right. Everybody has a right to make a living.
Okay. A Mohonk Mountain House in New Paltz, New York. They do it as well. They're a little pricier. It's a 50-minute walk in New York, but it costs $160. That seems a little steep.
Yeah.
I mean, you would really need to have some, I think, you know, you'd really need to have some evidence that your health was going to be improved for $160.
Okay. But, so I'm looking up Kenwood, California now on Google Maps. It's 6 hours and 34 minutes from me. But it's in wine country, Julie. So that sounds like that's where you want to go.
Yeah, I think you could do it. The national park system doesn't have any forest bathing going on right now, but they do have a program called Healthy Parks, Healthy People. How about that? And it's the restorative quality of spending time in nature. So I think we should get on this sport of forest bathing. It can, you know, it can't hurt. That's what I think.
Okay, more you're time, right. Can't hurt.
More time in there. So, okay. So those were my trends, Liz. I also wanted to mention to you, you know, it is the start of the TV season. It's coming up, Liz. You know that. Mm-hmm. And I really was perplexed because I had someone recommend to me two shows this week. Well, really three shows. Have you ever heard of the show called Wentworth? It's a story of an Australian prison for women. Supposed to be very good.
No.
Or another show called Mozart in the Jungle. Have you heard
that?
Oh, yes.
That's won a lot of major awards. That's from Amazon, right?
Yeah, I have not seen that. Yeah. And then I just read a great review of the new, I think it's an ABC show called This Is Us, or maybe it's an NBC show. I don't know.
It's
supposed to be a tearjerker. So anyway, so my point is there are all these new shows in addition to the, you know, shows that I normally try to watch on PBS or Madam Secretary. So I think like a lot of people, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. Like, how am I possibly going to watch all these shows?
Sure. Well, they call peak TV, Julie. Just in a world of peak TV, it's very hard to figure out what to watch.
Okay. And I know you're a former TV executive or a current TV executive. I don't know how you see it. But there was an article in the Wall Street Journal by Alexandra Samuel, who wrote a book about working smarter with social media. And she felt like she needed to watch a lot of television for her career. And so she developed a 5-question rubric, Liz, to figure out how to organize her selection of television. So I thought I would share that with you. And I knew, you know, being much more informed about TV than me, I just wanted your opinion.
Okay.
So first of all, the first question she always asks is, what's worth watching? And so she reviews Metacritic.com. Do you go there?
I've seen it. Yeah.
Or Facebook. She uses Facebook. She asks her friends. So she makes up a list of possible shows, gets those recommendations. Then the second question she asks herself is, how much attention does this show warrant? That she feels that there are some shows that are totally suitable for multitasking. You know, that the plots are not that difficult, that she can be doing other things and still watch, for example, Covert Affairs. Okay. That is not that hard. Or Blind Spot. I don't watch either of those shows. But she said other shows require full attention. And, you know, she lists like The Americans like you have to pay attention because it's everything's very subtle there. So now she has a list of shows. Then she separates them into two groups of how she can do that. And then she figures out who is she going to watch these shows with. Okay. Now you have certain shows I know you watch with Ferris. Okay. And then you may have shows that you watch with other friends.
Uh-huh.
I know I have certain shows that like, I'm just not going to force my husband to watch him. I know he's not going to watch him, but she does the same thing. So she goes through and she says, you know, she knows her husband is never going to watch Madam Secretary or The Good Wife, but she wants to watch him. So she has to create time slot for solo watching versus group watching, you know, with when you're getting together with friends and family. So
this certainly sounds like a lot of work just to pick a TV show, but okay. Everybody has their system. There's more.
Okay. Question number four, Liz, is where will you watch it? Is this a living room TV show or is it a bedroom TV show?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's a big, this can be very helpful. So you see now that's another separation out that, you know, that certain shows you need to be sitting upright for and others I think are much more enjoyable if you're lying down. Don't you think?
And then there are the ones you watch on your phone, apparently. Yeah.
And then finally, how are you going to watch it? You know, that which, you know, like what device? Are you going to watch it on your phone?
Oh, yeah, right.
Your computer? What's available? You know, so she has all of that. And she's made up this complex rubric based on these five questions and the responses to it. And then slotting the different TV shows into all these different areas so that she has time to see it. And she watches, she says, up to 100 shows.
Wow. That really feels like she has just sucked all the fun out of it. Doesn't it? I mean, I understand a little preparation is good and your time is valuable, but that's a lot of decision making. But, you know, if it helps you get to the shows that are the most worthwhile, I can understand why some shows you want to watch with other people. It's fun.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you're with someone else and they're going to be constantly complaining about it, it's not worth the trouble. So,
right.
I get that. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of work. So do you have a TV in your bedroom? Do you watch TV in your bedroom?
I have a TV in my bedroom and yes, sometimes I watch TV in my bedroom.
Yeah. See, I don't do that anymore.
Okay. That's part of your sleep regime. I know it's not supposed to have a TV in your bedroom.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I still have the TV there, but I don't watch it. I unplugged it. And
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Okay, well then your answer to question number 4 is very simple, Liz. You can only watch it in the living room.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah. There. Yes. Or on my phone. Apparently. That's true. Yeah, TV. TV is so excellent now. It's worth making your choices. You know, this is the beginning of the season for the broadcast networks. But for the cable networks, there are new shows all the time. And, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, there are new shows all the time. So it's hard to say when things actually begin. But I did suggest a show months ago that premieres this week, Julie. So I just want to remind people that my favorite show of the new season, and I saw almost all of the pilots, is Pitch, the one about the first woman to play in Major League Baseball. And Pitch premieres this Thursday night, September 22nd. So just a little reminder, I think you should try it. Especially if you love baseball. I know you love baseball. So,
let's just take Pitch. So that's one that I want to pay attention. So I'm going to be sitting in the living room.
Yes.
I probably can talk my husband into watching it because it's about baseball.
Right.
So I watch it with him.
Yes.
I'm going to watch it on a TV. Okay.
Yes.
So that will be my device.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can watch it live. There's no need to delay it.
I will watch it live. So there you go. And I have a positive review of it. Okay, Liz, 5 questions. Good. I'm all set with Pitch.
I will be very curious to see what you and your husband think of that show. Anyway, I was happily surprised. Okay, TV watching. So exhausting. Exhausting. Moving on. I would like to reinstitute Satellite Sisters of the Week, which we sort of dip in and out of handing out these kinds of awards. But I saw something happen this weekend in the world of sport, Julie, that made me say, these two athletes, clearly Satellite Sisters of the Week. And the athletes are the two Brownlee brothers, Alistair Brownlee and Johnny Brownlee. They are triathletes from the UK.
Okay.
They were competing in a triathlon in Cozumel, Mexico this weekend. Did you catch any of that?
No. I was at a family wedding, Liz.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right. So was I. anyway, these are the two brothers that came in like gold and silver in the Rio Olympics.
Right.
So Johnny, who was the silver medalist in Rio, he started to collapse. And his brother came by and he collapsed, got very disoriented. And when you look at the video, it's painful to watch because he has no idea where he is.
Oh,
he's just completely spent. And then, you know, the brother comes by, not only stops to care for his brother, but then picks him up and like carries, drags, pushes him over the finish line.
Julie. Oh my gosh.
It is really, really unbelievable. So it was because Alistair, the other brother, had been running in third place that he could just like wrap his arms around his brother. They had less than a kilometer to go. And it is really pretty much this is your solid gold Satellite Sister of the Week moment. So if you get a chance to look at that online, just Google that. Google Brownlee brothers and you will see what I mean.
Okay. We love inspiring sibling stories.
Yes.
So that's great, Liz.
And here's the other Satellite Sisters of the Week that I would like to name for this week. It's a little group called The Beatles, Julie. I know we all feel like we know The Beatles. And again, we are in the demo where we grew up with The Beatles. But yesterday afternoon, I went to see the new Beatles documentary called 8 Days a Week, which was done by Ron Howard.
Oh, yes. How is that?
So it's in movie theaters, select movie theaters, I think like 80 around the country or something. And it's also streaming on Hulu. So you can see it wherever you are. The advantage to seeing it in a movie theater is that besides the documentary, you get a 30-minute digitally remastered 4K version of their Shea Stadium performance, which is covered in the documentary. So that's an extra incentive to see it on the big, huge screen with the big, huge sound system. Anyway, 8 days a week. The number one thing that I came away with having watched this is that they were so much a band of brothers, and that everything they did during those early years, nobody knew what it was really like to be a Beatle, except for the Beatles themselves.
Yeah.
And so you just hear them, you see them. Oh my goodness. Remember how adorable they are?
We all had crushes on the Beatles.
Yeah. But yeah. They were just so joyful, but they were also so smart and funny. And so there's old interview footage. The stuff that I like the best is when it shows them in the recording studio, how they work together, particularly how Paul and John work together, but all of them. But Paul also explained that the way they voted as a band, that it was four or nothing, that either everyone had to agree we're going to do this or they didn't do it. And, and you can see in every picture, they're all like just cuddling together and they're just like hanging on to each other. So it really reminds you like that they were the first of this new modern version of celebrity and what that was like for them. It's fascinating to look at that. But also there are a few other interviews that they cut in. I was reading some background on it last night, and it said that after Ron Howard did the first edit of it, he let Paul and Ringo look at it, and they wanted to see more of themselves and less of these other people. So,
look for them. They're the Beatles.
They're the Beatles, okay. Yeah. And again, their point was, we're the ones that knew what it was like to be a Beatle. So if that's what we're trying to capture here, more of us, less of the other people. So there were other interviews that got cut out entirely, like Ed Sheeran, the singer, who I have to admit I love, and he's a huge Beatles fan. He was shot for this, but left on the cutting room floor. Sorry, Ed. But Elvis Costello is in it, and he's great. Whoopi Goldberg is in it. She was at that Shea Stadium concert.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so there are a handful of other people in there that really give you perspective. But Elvis Costello, to me, is particularly interesting because he kind of also grew up in that part of England. But as a musician, just talked about their musicianship and how hard it is to do what they did. And they're looking at the Shea Stadium footage, or their final concert in the U.S. was Candlestick Park. And, you know, he's commenting like they can't even hear themselves at all. So the fact that they are in tune and in time is just miraculous. Mm-hmm. And then they have an interview with Ringo saying, yes, in that Shea Stadium concert, he literally couldn't even hear the song. He didn't know where they were in the song, except from watching the way John and Paul were sort of moving their butts and turning their heads.
Oh, it sounds worth watching, definitely.
Totally worth watching. And it is just, it's the definition of brotherhood. When you watch what they meant to each other and how they supported each other and what that friendship was like in the very, very early days. It's just, it's a great movie about friendship. And then, of course, it's the Beatles. So in my theater, two very funny things. I only felt slightly guilty going to a Monday afternoon matinee. But then again, under the banner of Lizness, Not Business, I'm allowed to go to a Monday afternoon matinee, wouldn't you think?
Yes, Liz. Totally approval.
Okay. Theater was full, Julie.
You live in L.A. And
I know.
They go to the movies all the time. It's like the movie capital of the world.
I was looking around at these people. I'm like, well, who are you people? Really, this many people go to Monday afternoon matinees? Who knew? So that was great. And to be in a full theater was good because people were like laughing and cheering and clapping. Like at the end of a song that they would sing, people in the audience in the movie theater, they were clapping like they would if they were at the concert.
Were they singing along?
Thank goodness there was no singing along.
Okay, that's.
But it was a certain demographic of people who were very, very engaged with the movie. So if you can see it in a theater, do it if you can. But if not, it's already streaming on Hulu. I heartily recommend. I posted this on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, and I know a lot of you have already seen it and are posting your comments. So feel free to post more. Anyway, I feel like the Beatles were also Satellite Sisters, you know, because they stuck together. So I recommend.
Okay, Liz, good.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Okay, all right. Now, speaking of performances, I want to talk about our new season.
Because it's coming up.
It's coming up. It's really hard to believe this, Julie, but next week we will be kicking off our 16th season. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
Our debut, the first Satellite Sisters show, aired on April Fool's Day 2000.
I know. You know, it's amazing. We spent 3 years in public radio, then 5 years on ABC radio daily, and now we've been doing podcasts since 2008. We were podcast pioneers, Liz.
Yep, we were. So now we're excited to announce how we're going to move forward starting next week. So season 16 starts next week. You will get a new show every Tuesday from Leon, Julie, and me. Sheila and Monica are both concentrating on other work and life commitments, so they will not be on the new shows. That's their decision, but you will continue to hear them on the weekend new-to-you shows.
Plus, Leon and I will continue to do fresh new TV recap shows, starting with Madam Secretary, well, actually starting with Poldark, which starts on Sunday the 25th. And then Madam Secretary, the new season kicks off on October 2nd.
Wow. We're going to have a lot of new shows, fresh, mm-hmm. fresh shows. All right. So hooray for our season 16 kickoff. That's next week. If you want to keep in touch with us for any of our news, join the Satellite Sisters Facebook group or like the Satellite Sisters Facebook page.
And if you subscribe to our show on iTunes or Stitcher, you will always get the new shows as soon as they're available. So, and also the new to you shows.
Yeah. And if you're at iTunes and Stitcher, we love it when you can rate our shows or review our shows because it helps our Google ranking, which means we get more Satellite Sisters into the Satellite Sisterhood.
So that's our big news of the day. So you'll get more next week on our big season premiere.
Season premiere. Can you believe it? 16 years. This is a true labor of love for us. So we are just so happy to be starting another new season. Leon will be back. Today is the day she is dropping her son off at college. So that's where she is right now. And we'll be back next week with season 16. Woohoo. All right. So what else you got going on this week, Julie? Anything?
Well, Liz, I gave a big talk last night to a very nice group of women with the National Charity League. So I have some follow-up work to do on that. I've got another big speech coming up in a few short weeks. So I'm working on that.
How about you? That's exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to do.
Okay, going to the movies this afternoon? Going to call Brad?
No. Okay. Here's a little etiquette question. I have a dentist appointment this afternoon, just routine teeth cleaning. So should I bring up or not bring up the fact that flossing is now proven to be bogus?
Yeah, you go ahead. You try that. You tell your dentist that flossing is bogus and that you read some study. I just dare you to, Liz. I just dare you.
And just see what she says back?
Yeah, you know what she's going to say. You know.
I don't know. So, right. So that's my big decision today. Whew, the flossing discussion. And then doing a few other Satellite Sisters things. We're working on a couple of promotional plans for the fall for You're the Best, a celebration of friendship. So we'll probably have those to announce next week too. So anyway, that's our show for this week. We always have fun doing this. Thank you for listening. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.